Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith as it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we were on verse number 40 of Surah Ibrahim. We discussed the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam he made, and this was specific to making him firm in prayer, making him someone who establishes the prayer, and he made dua for his offspring to carry the same trait as well. Now, we're actually not going very far from this. We're just moving to the following verse, verse number 41 in the same surah. So this is almost like a part two, the next part of the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam makes. Slightly different now. This is again centered around the theme of forgiveness. He says, which is recorded in verse number 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Okay, so he basically makes dua for three groups of people, or three categories of people. First and foremost, he starts with himself. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي, our Lord, forgive me. Then he moves on to his parents, وَلِوَالِدَيَّ, and both of my parents. And then he moves on to the believers, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, all of the believers, all of the people of faith, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, on the day when the account will be established, on the day when the reckoning will be established, in other words, on the day of judgment. So here in this dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for himself, for his parents, for all of the believers, in fact, on the day of judgment when we will need it the most. Now, there's quite a few different things that I wanted to discuss today. First and foremost, let's maybe talk about who the dua starts with. And we've already touched on this in an earlier episode, where we said that actually when you make dua, there's nothing wrong with being selfish when you make dua, that you start with yourself in the dua, right? Where some people, they'll say, they might think, well, no, let me be generous and let me make dua for other people first. You know, I can come later. But actually, what we learn from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and others like Musa alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, other great prophets of Allah, which have been recorded in the Quran, is actually that they made dua for themselves first before making dua for others. And we're going to come to the importance of also making dua for others. But what we're saying is that you should start with yourself. Because if you're asking Allah for forgiveness, right, and you say, oh Allah, forgive, you know, my parents and forgive my family members and forgive, you know, all of the believers, and yeah, also forgive me, then there's two things. First and foremost, remember that you yourself are in need of forgiveness more than anyone else, okay? So yes, of course, it's good to make dua for others, and like I said, we're going to come to that. But it's more important that you ask for yourself. The most effective dua is the dua that you make for yourself. And yeah, okay, it's great. It's a bonus that you're making dua for your parents and the believers. But remember, it's an individual responsibility that everyone needs to ask for forgiveness for themselves. So your parents would need to, individually make dua to Allah that Allah forgives them. Your other brothers and sisters need to make their own du'as. Does that make sense? So in other words, that what we're saying when we say that the dua made for yourself is more effective, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would appreciate it when his servant, you know, goes out of their way and takes their time out and makes the effort to turn to him to make a specific dua to ask for forgiveness. Allah will appreciate that more than a secondary, he would appreciate it more than that coming from a secondary source. Does that make sense, right? So, making dua for yourself is very important. You can't just rely on others, right? Sometimes there's this habit in certain communities, right, where you just rely on others to make dua for you, okay? And there's nothing wrong with asking someone to make dua for you. You know, you see the imam, you see your parents, you see someone, one of your friends, whoever it might be, and you say, you know, make dua for me. I'm going through this difficulty. Please keep me in your du'as. Or, you know, you're traveling, make sure you make dua for me. okay, please pray for me. I have this exam. I have this interview coming up. Nothing wrong with that. You know, you should ask. Why? Because you just never know whose dua will be accepted by Allah. You just never know. So yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, take the initiative, ask people to make dua. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if we get into a habit of just, hey, yeah, make dua for me, make dua for me, but we're not making dua ourselves, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose, where dua is all about calling out to Allah, building that personal relationship with Him, and, you know, humbling ourselves before Him. And if we're just relying on others to do that, then it's definitely not going to be as effective. Okay, because dua is an act of worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love for you to engage in that. Like He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, those who are arrogant, you know, arrogantly turn away from my worship. And this is tying in with the verse of dua. He just mentions dua before this. سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ. In other words, these people will enter into the hellfire if you arrogantly turn away from my worship. The second thing I was going to mention under this point is that, again, you know, when it comes to making dua for yourself, if you're just making dua for yourself towards the end, again, there's a hint of arrogance there. Like, you know, yeah, I don't really need forgiveness, or I don't really need, you know, mercy. I'm okay, actually. I'm not doing too bad. But it's the other people, they're the ones in need of it. So we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't have this holier than thou attitude when it comes to making dua. I know most of us, we don't have that, and may Allah protect us from arrogance, but I'm saying there's a hint of that, and this is why, you know, primarily we should begin with ourselves when we make dua. Now, of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then moves on to making dua for parents, both the parents, right? And we know, you know, the virtues of being dutiful and serving our parents. And in fact, in the next episode, inshallah, we're going to discuss a very specific dua for our parents, okay, for parents in general. So we'll come to the details of that. However, it's so important to make dua for your parents, because they, you know, as you were growing up, they made dua for you, and this is the least that we can do for them. Something, again, that we should all think about is when we think and when we imagine ourselves in Jannah, right, and we should all have this ambition that, you know, we want to be in Jannah, we want to make it to Jannah, we want to be in the highest levels of Jannah. I actually remember when one of my teachers, he mentioned a point which was kind of a wake-up call for me, where he said, you know, how many of you, he asked us a question, how many of you want, you know, see yourselves in Jannah? And of course, everyone put their hands up, including myself, saying, yeah, of course, you know, we see ourselves in Jannah, of course. Like, that is our goal in life, and that's why, you know, we're working hard, and that's why we're doing the good that we're doing, and that's why we're praying. And, you know, whereas we could have been enjoying ourselves and doing all these other things, not that we don't enjoy ourselves, by the way, but, you know, we could have been doing all these other things, and, you know, we're clearly abstaining from all of these, you know, unlawful acts for a reason, right? We're doing this for a reason. We want to be in Jannah, we want to please Allah Azza wa Jal. But then he moved on and he asked another question, which was, so how many of you, you know, you're all saying you can imagine yourselves, you picture yourselves in Jannah. How many of you, as you're picturing yourself in Jannah, are also picturing your parents next to you, or your parents there with you, or your family members, your spouse, your children there with you? And you could just see, like, there weren't many people that had that picture. And it's not, again, because they didn't want their parents to be there, or they didn't want, you know, their family members to be there. Of course, everyone wants their family members to be in Jannah. It's just that we have this idea that, you know, I just want to, like, I'm just working for Jannah, and I just want to get to Jannah. And we just don't really have that concern for our family. We don't have this vision that, you know, all of us are going to make it together. All of us can make it together to Jannah, right? And that was a wake-up call for me, where I was like, you know what, subhanAllah, when I make dua, I should be making dua for myself, but for all of the people that I love, for my friends, for my family members, especially for my parents, and, you know, these types of people, I should be making specific dua. Of course, we want everyone to enter into Jannah, and that's hence why the next part of the dua from Ibrahim. But especially parents, with everything that they've done for us, right? The amount of dua that they've made for us, and with the sleepless nights that they've had, we should make dua that, oh Allah, I want my parents to be there. I want my parents to be in Jannah, right? How heartbreaking would it be that I'm in Jannah and they're not there, right? No, they deserve Jannah, because everything that I have, it's from the effort of, you know, my parents. So like I said, we'll specifically talk about parents. But this is also part of the right of one's parents. The scholars mention that, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to serve our parents, when the Prophet ﷺ teaches us to be dutiful to our parents, what about those whose parents have passed on, sadly? What about those who have lost their parents, their mother and their father? What about those who have grown up as orphans? Right, what do they do? How can they be dutiful to their parents? Is this obligation lifted from them? And the answer is no. There is a way of still being dutiful and still honoring your parents, even if they've passed, even if they've left this world. Right. So obviously, whilst we have our parents, may Allah preserve all our parents, but whilst we have them with us, you know, we serve them to the best of our abilities. We carry out what they ask us to do, and we refrain from disobeying them and causing them any displeasure and hurting them in any way. So this is a way of, you know, obeying and being dutiful to our parents whilst they're alive. But look, that continues after they pass away. And that is that we make dua for them. This is the number one way of honoring our parents if they have passed on, if they have departed from this world, right? That we continuously make dua for them and we do good in their name. We do good in their name so that inshallah it's a means of sadaqah jariyah for them and it's a means of, you know, forgiveness for them. So this is actually a way of serving them, and this is actually their right. So we should continuously make dua for our parents, because at the end of the day, our parents are not perfect. We're all human beings, so we're all in need of forgiveness. And, you know, tying in with the previous episode where we spoke about the importance of salah, we spent quite a lot of time talking about the importance of salah based on the first part of the dua of Ibrahim, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Okay, so again, a beautiful hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which ties both of these things in perfectly, where, again, you know, a man asked the Prophet ﷺ that what is the best actions, you know, tell me the best deed, right, something that I can do. And the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is praying salah on its time, praying salah on time, at its appointed time, that is the best deed. And then when the companion asked the Prophet ﷺ what's after that, what does he mention? He mentions dutifulness to parents, being good and kind towards your parents. SubhanAllah, this is the thing that's mentioned immediately after observing the prayer, the salah, which is a pillar of our faith, as we discussed. Immediately after that, what does the Prophet ﷺ say? It's being good towards your parents. So look at the emphasis on this, right? So, you know, when we pray and once we've served Allah, then we serve our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before all else. He is our master, but then we serve our parents after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the most right thereafter. So we make dua for our parents. And again, we'll come to examples of this, because there are so many examples of parents in the Quran, actually. The parent-child relationship, which many of us, we can relate to. And many of us, we may struggle with it as well, this parent-child relationship. But actually, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us examples throughout the Quran of different relationships between the parent and the child. Just to give you an example, or a few examples of this, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given many examples in the Quran of, you know, amazing parents and amazing children, and the great relationship that is between the two, right? So for example, in Surah Yusuf, right at the beginning, the relationship between Ya'qub alayhi salam, the father, and Yusuf alayhi salam, the son. So the parent and the child, both of them are amazing. Amazing parent, right? Who's, you know, put a lot of effort into raising his children in the best way. And then you've got this amazing child who reciprocates that and respects his father and, you know, consults with him when he's seen this dream. So Allah gives these examples. He's given examples as well of you know, people like the mother of Musa alayhi salam. The mother of Musa alayhi salam, a great parent, someone very noble, okay, because she's mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sent divine inspiration to her. And again, the way the relationship that she had with her son, Musa alayhi salam, the relationship that she had with her daughter's mentioned as well in Surah Al-Qasas, the sister of Musa alayhi salam. So again, great parent-child relationship, right? So you have these examples, you know, in Surah Luqman radiallahu an, and his son and the advice that he gives. Again, great parent-child relationship. But it's not all rosy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that. It's not always like that. And in fact, you have examples of a great parent and you have a child that isn't so good, right? You have this example in the Quran, a child who disrespects and disobeys the parent. And this is found in the example of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, amazing, he's a prophet of Allah and was a great father. However, unfortunately, his son was not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, how Nuh alayhi salam calls out to his son, you know, telling him, "Oh my son, come on to the ship, onto the ark with me, save yourself from the punishment. Believe in Allah. And in fact, he turns away. And he thinks that he's going to be saved by being on top of, you know, the mountain, being on top of the hill. But unfortunately, you know, he rejected the faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nuh alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, that, you know, your child's behavior and your child's actions are not good. They're not righteous at all. So you have this example. You have the opposite. You have someone who's a great child, amazing, but then you have the parent who isn't so good. And this example is found in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're going to come to that in detail another time, inshallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, he had that struggle. Okay, again, we've touched on it with his father, Azar, okay, who was an idolater and he used to make idols, okay. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was great and he was respectful towards him. We'll come to that example, okay. So you've got all of these examples, right? You know, parent-child relationship is great, or the child is great, but the parent isn't. Parent is, you know, really good, but the child isn't. So you have all these examples in the Quran that we can relate to. But ultimately, we make dua for our parents. Moving on. Walil mu'mineen, that you make dua for all of the believers. This is something great, subhanAllah, it's something beautiful, that we make dua for everyone, right? And there are many du'as in the Quran again, in which they encourage us to make dua for others, to make dua for our fellow believers, because we are all one body. We are all brothers and sisters in faith, and we should only want the best for one another. And like the Prophet said, that you know, you should love for yourself, and you should love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself, right? So if you love for yourself Jannah, if you love to attain Jannah, if you love to be forgiven on the Day of Judgment, then why would you not wish the same for your fellow brothers and sisters? And this is something that Ibrahim alayhi salam identified. He recognized, and this is something that he did. And he made dua for everyone, and this includes us, by the way. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam reaches us, subhanAllah, that he's asking for all of the believers to be forgiven. And dua in the absence of others is something very powerful, by the way. Making dua, one of the best types of dua is a dua that you make in the absence of your brother or sister, because it shows the sincerity. And this is true love. If you want to define true love for someone, nowadays, you know, there's so many definitions of love and there's so many examples, right, that we have of, oh, this is real love, this is true love, right? But actually, true love is, do you know what it is? It's, you know, a sign that you really truly love someone, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your parents, whether it's your children, whether it's your friend. If you really want to test how much you love them, then ask yourself, do you make dua for them in their absence? Why absence? Because in their presence, it's very easy to make dua. Yeah, may Allah reward you, may Allah bless you. Yeah, and saying it in front of them. Why? Because, you know, we, as human beings, we say a lot of things, right? We say a lot of things in front of people, and sometimes we're sincere, sometimes we're not. But the dua that you make in their absence, when you know that you're not getting anything out of it, you're not trying to impress them, you're not getting closer to them, you're not building a relationship with them by saying it, you're not getting any perks or favors from them by saying it, and the dua that you make in their absence is very sincere, and it just shows you how much you love them, because you're thinking about them even when they're not there. And you're not just thinking, you know, in a daze, kind of just thinking and daydreaming about them. That's not what you're actually thinking, and being productive and proactive about it, that you're actually making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one that we should love above all else, by the way. And we're making dua to Him that, oh Allah, bless them and forgive them and do good for them. So dua in the absence of others. And like the hadith of the Prophet tells us, that actually when you make dua for someone else, the angels say, and for you is the same. May you have the same thing. So if you're making dua, oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, bless them. Oh Allah, preserve their health. Oh Allah, give them success, right? Then guess what? The angels are saying and making dua in response, that may Allah give you the same. This is amazing. It's beautiful, right? So why should we not make dua for others? And then finally, the only other thing he adds at the end is يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ, on the day when the hisab will take place, the account, the reckoning. Right, where every single one of us, we will have to go through this, right? And this is the reality, the Day of Judgment. And again, throughout the Quran, it's one of the major themes, the Day of Judgment, where there's details and there's descriptions about what will happen on this day. But the word hisab is account, and it reminds me of a famous statement attributed to Umar radiallahu an, which is that hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take account of yourselves, take hisab of yourselves before you are taken account of. right? In other words, you are going to all be judged and taken account of. But before that happens, take account of yourselves first and foremost, right? Reflect on yourselves, figure out where you're going wrong. So anyway, that's just a bit to do with Yawm al-Hisab. But ultimately, to wrap up, this dua is amazing. Why? Because not only are you making dua for yourself, but you're making dua for your parents as well. You're making dua for all of the believers. In turn, the angels are making dua for you. And it's just this, you know, beautiful, comprehensive dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which we should memorize and which we should often recite, and that we should really understand what it means and what the implications are, you know, who we're making dua for. Very, very important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And inshallah, of course, we're going to be back with another episode next time to discuss a specific dua for parents. So until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.